two very unique and people who are special to me and that we're here to congratulate today. And I'm going to start with Felicia Snell. As you know, I believe in excess of 100,000 Hoosiers have chosen to try to change their lives for the better, become a little more active, eat a little more wisely, perhaps stop smoking, lose weight. And we've been running our In Shape program now for a couple of years, and there are lots of success stories. The most enjoyable part of my job these days, traveling as I did all week, every day somebody wants to come up and tell me their story. But one of the best ones is here, and I made a little promise along the way. At an In Shape event, I met Felicia, who at that point had lost 82 pounds. And she told me, my gosh, she was getting to 100 at least. And I said, what an achievement that would be. And I said, if she got there, we'd make a little fuss over it. And please join me in, stand up, in saying a word of commendation to my friend Felicia Snell, who has now lost 107 pounds.
Thank you. I did it just by taking one little step at a time to be healthier and in shape, and the 10 and 10 challenge became part of my accountability, and which I'm forever grateful for. An email was sent out every Sunday night, and there was a survey you had to fill out, and you had to put your weight down every week, and knowing that that was going to come, and knowing I had to have a smaller number each week, made me just very accountable to working towards that, and I'm excited about the summer fit right now, other than you don't get to put your weight down. I do. And I guess the most exciting thing for me is that I really don't need that accountability anymore, but I welcome the support.
That's excellent. Felicia, congratulations.
Thank you. We're proud.
One of the most important choices a governor may get to make is to the highest courts in our state. Very structured and merit-based process that delivers to a governor a list of three possibilities. And we just had our first such assignment to the appellate court of this state, and I want to say that the nominating commission did a superb job. This was extraordinarily difficult. The three names we were given, I could have thrown a dart in the people of this state, and those seeking justice would have been very, very well served. But after a lot of study and listening, lots of input from lots of people, I do believe we've chosen the very best person. And I want to introduce to you, along with his wife, Sam, a full-day kindergarten teacher, I'm happy to say, Superior Court judge from Marion County, well-known for a long time as a leading jurist, architect of many reforms here, including those that have begun to alleviate jail overcrowding. Someone who has proven to be not only an excellent a judge, but a person who can bring people together in pursuit of a better criminal justice system. Congratulations, Judge Bradford, and we know that you will serve Indiana, all of Indiana, with tremendous distinction for a long time.
Thanks
for
serving. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. I'd like to thank Governor Daniels and his staff and the Chief Justice of the Indiana Supreme Court, Shepherd, and the members of the Judicial Nominating Commission for their confidence in me. The best way to demonstrate my gratitude is to do an exemplary job, and I'm going to do that for many years in this state. I think people know that I have a lot of common sense and that I'm fair and that I'm collegial, and I've been doing that all my life, and I have no intention of changing those qualities. Thank you very much. I appreciate this opportunity.
Congratulations to you. So the judge and Felicia are available for your questions.
Judge, how does your prosecutorial
addition to just being a prosecutor, all right, for, I guess, a long part of my career, I've also done criminal defense work and have been a criminal court trial judge. Anytime you have those diverse experiences lets you understand where various parties are coming from and where their points of view are laid. So that experience and the experience of being in court, whether it's advocating for a party or sitting as a jurist, enables you to review the record of a court and have a better understanding of what happened down in the battleground.
There have been times that you recall that you did reverse appeal and stick out in your mind, either once where you said you said all LGA didn't think of that, or what in the world were they thinking?
Well, you know, that's why I took the job, see? I don't have to get reversed anymore. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, you know, a trial judge has a lot of cases to deal with, and they don't have the time and the support to thoroughly research the law from time to time. So, you know, it's difficult to second-guess trial judges. I have been reversed, not very often, thankfully, but I accept that advice and guidance from the Indiana Court of Appeals, and I'll accept it from the Indiana Supreme Court as they lend guidance to the decisions I'll make on the Court of Appeals.
Judge Bradford, have you thought at all about how what your movement will mean for the East Chicago casino money case that's on interlocutory appeal to the appeals court? Will you be on that in the appeals court?
I don't think that would probably be appropriate for me to do that. And it's a pending case, and actually there's hearings pending in July on that case that I'll preside over. So I can't comment any further on the case. All right, so. That'd be right.
Have you begun that process? You have one in mind? Or?
I know, but right away.
Lisa, where are you from?
Greenwood.
How long did it take you to lose weight?
I've been losing since October.
Amazing.
You have a goal?
No, I do not. My goal is just to be healthy.
Just this past year?
October 14th, 2006. I just made a decision and a commitment.
We've got a fact sheet that will get you on my house and swallow.
I think I want to stake her to a book, you know. Felicia's now a weight loss player.
So, kind of gratifying is it though? I mean, in shape Indiana has been one of your major thrusts.
Yep.
I mean, how gratifying? I mean, obviously, this is just one of the many success stories that you've had.
Well, I'm both excited but also sober about this. We've got so far to go. But I can just tell you that there's not a day out there on the road, happened to be every single day this week, somebody came up with a story they wanted to tell. I was in a coffee shop in Crawfordsville where I encountered a couple who had quit smoking together, married couple, after 55 years. So it's never too late and never too hard. And we're just trying to help everybody we can. But we have a long way to go. And I'm thrilled about what InShape has done, but it just reminds me that we need to multiply that by many times if we're really going to move the needle as a whole state.
Do you have any other ideals about what you would do to advance it?
Oh, well, as I think I've demonstrated, I'll do almost anything. You know, turn my hat around backwards and run around on television in short pants, but full do chin-ups. But whatever the InShape team comes up with, within any reason, I'm likely to say yes to.
The situation with the increased motorcycle fees, it's kind of, it seemed the tables turned back to you with a press release yesterday. Basically, I guess, do you think that maybe you should have spotted this in the budget in the time that we had?
It wouldn't have made any difference. The budget was 253 pages long. There were lots of things in there that I don't think are good. There were some pork barrel spending. There were too much of this and too much of that. But you have to make a yes-no decision. And as a total budget, it was darn good. It's going to balance, again, for years 3 and 4. And it's going to help us advance full-day kindergarten. And many other things that are important to the state.
So it wouldn't have made any difference. I signed hundreds of bills with tens of thousands of total pages, and the law gives you 7 days to do it. If any governor tells you that he read every line of every bill, he'd probably not be entirely straight. But it wouldn't have mattered. Those people who were tracking this most closely told me after the fact it surprised them too, so I'm not sure that too many people did know it, but there it is.
Why is that piece so bothersome?
It's not enormously bothersome. I gave a straight answer. It doesn't strike me as the fairest situation. The motorcycles are the cause of a tiny percentage of spinal injuries. I'm told the far and away the number one cause is swimming pool accidents. Nobody suggested taxing bathing suits. So there might have been a fairer way to do this. I'm in favor of the research. And I would have signed the budget, of course, because it was an overall yes-no decision. And once again, there were lots of things in there that wouldn't have been my first choice at all. But that's what a give-and-take process produces.
Carolyn May says you should be embarrassed about not knowing that it was in there, that it was in various versions during the final week, and that your fiscal staff and attorneys had days to review it. Did they not catch it, or did they know about it and not tell you?
I'm not embarrassed, but I'll accept the criticism. Again, 253 pages in the budget alone, thousands and thousands of items, among thousands and thousands of pages of other bills we had 7 days to look at. So I could fib to you and tell you I knew every line of every page, but I'm not going to do that.
And so you did.
And it wouldn't have made any difference.
You and your staff did not know.
No one in the briefings mentioned it. Someone may have seen it. I'm told by the motorcycle folks that they had been told it had come out of the final version. And even the people following it the most closely were surprised, but
there are several governors, I think the majority of them, I'm sure, have lined up to be in
favor of the end. Yeah, I do. I would. I think it's along with the lack of a supermajority to override a veto. These are two ways in which the Indiana Constitution is very different from most of the 50 states. And I think those are two things that I hope future governors might one day have corrected for them. I think it would balance the process more.
Is it something that you can put forward and presumably wouldn't take effect until after you're gone?
Yeah, I've thought about it. It hasn't been near the top of the list, and I think it would be most fair, if proposed, to propose it for future governors, but I do think that these are shortcomings in our current system.
Governor, the Inspector General has been on the job for a couple years now. He's seen over 1,100 complaints, but the public only gets to see a fraction of these actual reports because he keeps many of them confidential. What do you think about that? In general, are we getting our money's worth at that office?
It's been a spectacular success. There's a place now for whistles to blow and be heard and acted on, without anybody having to fear reprisals. He's acted decisively when he's found something amiss, and yet he's also a very fair person, because not all of the allegations or criticism do turn out to be well-founded. So I think it's working well, but we need to keep looking at it. There may be adjustments to the system that would be in order. But I think in its first couple years, it's made a very important difference, and I'm very glad that we saw it through.
Is there any adjustment that you're going to propose?
Her question will make me go back and have a look at the degree of visibility, but I think we've got a system that was very much needed in the state. We've got a very good man, very fair, former county prosecutor running it.
Governor, for your announcement on Saturday, Crown Point was one of the areas you had people, supporters come down from. with Representative Kuzman leaving, do you see that as an opportunity for Republicans to pick up a seat? And is that something you're going to be involved in?
All I have to say about that is Bob Kuzman's a good man, and he's been a good public servant. I happened to bump into him last weekend, and I told him that if the rumors I'd heard were true, I thought it'd be a loss for the state, and I do.
Governor, you have, in state government, there is a revolving door policy. There is none in legislative. Bob Kuzman going to the lobbying ranks, there are quite a few former legislators out there. Is that something you think that we ought to slow down?
We fixed it in the executive branch as we lifted many other ethics standards and tightened many rules, put an inspector general in place to police them. So I think my views on this are well known. I've not made it my business to tell the legislature how to do theirs. But you can look at what we have done to try to lift up standards and in the executive branch and see where my biases lie.
Governor. Question about the 15 or so auto dealerships that are now partnering with the titles. They've had the statutory authority to do that for several years now, but in the past, the dealerships have told us that they were reluctant to do so because of administrative hassle and computer concerns and so forth. What has changed this time under your administration to make these auto dealers get on board with this concept?
We ought to talk to BMV, but there is a new computer system to make this work more effectively. We're just out here to, and I'm excited, by the way. This was something we said we would try to do if chosen for this job, among other reforms of the BMV. We've lengthened the driver's license period. We've added internet and mail options. And now this one-stop shopping for registration and paperwork all have the same goal, to minimize the number of visits and the amount of time that any Hoosier has to spend at a branch. And so I'm really glad to see this making its way now. And I believe, and I'm told to expect, that it will really take off. It will be something that dealers want to do as a customer service to their patrons, and that I think will perhaps become a term of competition. One dealer's offering it and another dealer isn't, might make a small difference. So always our goal is to reduce, maybe even eliminate, the number of times that busy Hoosiers have to take time out of their day to physically go and deal with state government, in this case the BMV.
Can I back to Mayor Best's question on the revolving door? You
yeah.
said you fixed the executive branch problem, but there is, people can still leave your office and lobby the legislature. They just can't lobby you. Is that a loophole we think we need to fix?
Well, again, the legislature has to make its own rules about who can do what. When I think about the revolving door issue, study the laws of other states, it is about someone returning to the site of their former service and having transactions with their former colleagues, or perhaps their employees, their former employees, where they might enjoy undue influence. So I think that's the pattern in most such laws. But again, if the legislature decides to lift its own standards, apply some of these same principles, I'd be pleased to see that.
Governor, have you had any contact with the Heavens family? Do you have any plans for
that? I've not had contact with Jane Heppner or the family yet. I do intend to. I didn't want to, rush in immediately. I'm heartsick, but then everybody else is. It's just one of those times when life seems very, very unfair. And I just came to like him and Mrs. Heppner so much as people, and I loved the energy and the spirit he was bringing to the program. And it's just a tough, tough blow for us all.
Where do things stand with prison transfers from your family?
Nothing new that I know. Ask Donahue. Sorry, Brian.
This week, the Utility Regulatory Commission is hearing the
the case of Duke Energy and Vectren, the one built a coal gasification plant in Edwardsport. I believe the OUCC is recommending to the Regulatory Commission that carbon emissions from this plant be capped at, or be reduced by 20% of the carbon capture placed on that. As head of the executive branch, do you have any opinion as to whether it should be 20% or some other amount? And have you had any discussions with the OUCC about that?
No, I won't have any discussions about any specific case with any such body. I will just tell you that I've been a big proponent of the Edwardsport plant. Finding answers in Indiana to use coal for electricity, perhaps for gas. I was in a lengthy meeting yesterday about the possibility of turning Indiana coal into liquid fuels. On an environmentally clean basis is critically important to the southwest part of our state, not to mention critically important to America. Someone pointed out to me last night, for the first time, the energy value of the Illinois Basin alone, the coal in Indiana, Illinois, and close by, is more than the entire value of all the oil that OPEC controls. We've got to find a way to unleash it. There are enormous opportunities for jobs and growth in our state to be energy self-sufficient ourselves. And Edwardsport will move us toward not having to import electricity from other places. So I really want to see these things move forward, and Edwardsport's exciting because this is clean coal technology of the new generation, and it does provide at least the opportunity, if society decides this, to sequester the CO2 that many people are concerned about.
But just briefly to follow up, Duke and Vectren are opposed to the IURC imposing some sort of mandate on it because they say the sequestration technology is as yet unproven. Mm-hmm. And whereas the OUCC wants those emissions reduced by 20%. So I guess the question is, do you personally have any opinion on that particular issue?
Well, here's my opinion. That plant should be built. We need it. The workers of Southwest Indiana need it. And frankly, America needs it in the sense that we need to move with these new technologies. And I don't think that something arbitrary that may not be supported by any science I'm aware of ought to get in its way at this early date. The possibilities will be there if that plant is built for sequestration as the technology does come along. That should be seen as a big step forward. That's a huge improvement over the coal plants we have now. All right, thank you very much.